While Connecticut really hasn't technically, as at least as of this date, as of today's date, hasn't confirmed any cases of the coronavirus, many still have some concerns about catching it. But let me tell you something, folks. Let's put this all in perspective. All right, let's look at the flu. 16,000 people this year, or I shouldn't say this year, this season, like the flu season, because I know it starts technically in, you know, the end of last year, you know, 2019. 16,000 people have died. 280,000 people have been hospitalized in this 2019-2020 flu season. And I'm talking throughout the, you know, throughout the United States here. All right. But let's just look at this. Coronavirus. 11 deaths. Now, listen, you could sit there and say any death, even if it was one, is one too many. Of course, I agree with you. I don't think there'd be anybody disagreeing with you. All I'm saying is let's put it in perspective and look at the flu, the regular flu, which, you know, it's been bad this year. It's been worse than the average flu season. We all know that. But how come people aren't up in arms more about that, more about the flu than they're about coronavirus? Is it really, is it more media hype? Is it political? I don't know. I really don't know the answer to that question, folks. I really don't. But our first guest does. And we're going to bring her on. We've actually had her on in January. It's been a couple of months. It was early January. Dr. Virginia Bylock is from Central Connecticut Hospital. And we welcome her to the show. Good morning, Doc.
Hi, good morning.
Welcome back. Yeah, it's great to have you back.
Great.
So when we spoke a couple of months ago, it was, yeah, I remember you saying, folks, it's really not much to worry about. And I believe you. And I'm still under that notion where, yeah, be aware, but, I mean, go on, live your life. My goodness, you don't need to walk around with surgical masks. But yet over the past weekend, that's exactly what I see. I can't walk into Target without five or six people walking around with a hospital mask on. Has it gotten more serious or has it gotten worse since we chatted 2 months ago?
Well, certainly there are more coronavirus cases identified in the United States. Every year people hear about influenza. This is the first year they're hearing about coronavirus. So it's a new virus to most people, although there are four coronaviruses that are well known to cause the common cold, and many people have already had a coronavirus infection, although not this particular new coronavirus. So I think it's new. We don't talk about it in the past. And I think, you know, people are hearing about deaths, and they are concerned. The vast majority of people who get this infection, figures are at least 80%, have a mild illness. And we don't yet know how many people will contract this virus and not get sick.
So what are some of the symptoms and how do they differ from the symptoms of the flu that's just going around this year?
Well, that's part of the problem. The symptoms of the flu and the coronavirus are really not distinguishable from each other. Both of them can cause fever, achiness, and lung symptoms such as cough and shortness of breath. So you can't really tell the two diseases apart by talking to a patient. However, as you said earlier, if you're sick with those symptoms in the United States right now, you probably have the flu and not coronavirus.
Yeah, but I just don't, you don't want to start this panic, you know, oh my goodness, I got the coronavirus, and oh my goodness, I'm starting to feel some of these symptoms when they mirror the symptoms of the flu this year. And there are tests, though. I know that right now they're trying to develop a serum and a cure for this, but that's going to take anywhere up to a year. So there's got to be some way to test can be given to determine if indeed someone has coronavirus and not.
You're absolutely right. The Center for Disease Control very early on developed a test for detecting this virus. And it involves swabbing the inside of someone's nose or their back of their throat and sending it off for what we call a PCR test. And we do many PCR tests to detect infectious agents these days. The issue has been that thus far, testing is just beginning to roll out on a significant scale. And we've heard that in the near future, we can expect testing to really ramp up.
Is it true that, I mean, that serums and vaccinations is the easy part? Developing that is the easy part. It's getting the FDA to approve, which is basically based on data. That takes the longest time, right? Is that true?
Well, easy is probably a relative term. The scientists work really hard on
sure,
this.
Sure, of course.
It's quite intricate science, but they've already started working on vaccines. If you remember back in the early 2000s, there was a disease called SARS, and it was caused by a similar coronavirus, and one manufacturer actually started working on a vaccine for that particular agent, and they're trying to adopt the same technology for a coronavirus vaccine. The delay is, as you said, really getting the data. One, that a vaccine is safe, because you're giving a vaccine to a healthy person. So you want to make sure it's safe. And two, make sure it's effective. And to make sure it's effective, you have to study a lot of people in an area where you have the disease to prove that the vaccine prevents the disease. So it is a prolonged process to develop a vaccine that you know is safe and effective. But we're all optimistic this will come. There are a couple of what we call antiviral agents. They're sort of antibiotics for viruses, and at least one of them was being tested, I know, in China, and I haven't seen any data come out on that.
You had mentioned something, Doc, a moment ago that really caught my attention, and that was that there are four strains of the coronavirus. Oh, my goodness. I think people just think of coronavirus in and of itself and one strain in its own freestanding virus. What are the four strains? Which one is the one that's spreading? And how do you differentiate between one from the others?
Let me back up. Commonly, for years, we've known that there are four common coronavirus strains that spread and cause the common cold. And we don't test for them. They're very common. People get better. And so we haven't paid a lot of attention to them. We can test for them. And back in the early 2000s, we had SARS, which was caused by a new coronavirus introduced into the human population that was controlled. And then we had another virus known as MERS that was a coronavirus that came out from the Middle Eastern region. So there are the four common coronaviruses that have affected humans for we don't know how long, but then there are these new viruses that are introduced into the human population, and none of us have seen those viruses before, and that's why nobody has any immunity to these viruses that are new, and that's why they're able to spread so quickly.
How long has coronavirus been around? And the reason why I ask you this, Doc, is because I saw some picture, I don't know, where was it, on the internet or something, or maybe somebody forwarded it to me, I don't remember. But it was maybe last week, and it was on a can of Lysol, and it says it helps prevent the spread of coronavirus. And I'm like, either that was Photoshopped, or it's been around a lot longer than people think it has.
Well, I don't have a lot of Lysol hanging around, so I can't check the veracity of that. But these four common coronaviruses, you know, we've known about for, I don't know how long, years and years.
Oh.
But this is a new strain of coronavirus, and the name of this new strain is called SARS-CoV-2. And so it's different from the common coronaviruses that we've all probably had at one point in our lives, because we've all had a lot of colds.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And the other question that I had, and people, this is some debate that's been going on and how it started. And it started in Wuhan, China. And it started because allegedly somebody ate a bat or somebody ate some weird food there. And then they were breathing on other people. And is it an airborne? How did, first of all, there's kind of a two-part question. We know it started in Wuhan, China, but was it something that somebody ate? Or, and then is it spread? Is it airborne? Is it spread by, if you sneeze on somebody, or if you breathe on somebody, or if you flicking a light switch and the germs that are on a light switch or a doorknob? So it's kind of a two-part question. Let's break it down. We know it started in Wuhan. How? Where did this originate from in Wuhan?
Well, bats are known to be reservoirs of coronaviruses. That is, they carry these viruses. These viruses can get into other species that humans have more contact with. We don't really know the origin of this particular coronavirus and how it originally got into the human population. We presume it's an animal, but that's still being worked out.
Who's eating bat? Oh, my goodness.
Well, it usually gets from a bat to a live animal that somebody has more contact with.
Okay. All right. So how is this? Is it airborne? Is it from sneezing? Is it touching a doorknob? How can people prevent themselves? And do they really need to wear a surgical mask out in public?
All right. First of all, from what we know about other similar viruses, we think that it can be spread by droplets, and those would be the particles created when somebody sneezes or coughs. Whether it's airborne or not, that means stays in the air for a little while, still being worked on. Again, we're extrapolating from other similar viruses, and that we believe that if this virus gets on a surface, it can last for some time. Again, we don't know how long. Some viruses can last several days on a surface. And if you touch that surface and inoculate the organism into your mouth or your nose or your eyes, you can get sick from that.
Mm-hmm.
So wearing a mask isn't necessarily going to prevent you from getting sick. If it's the routine hospital mask we see doctors wearing on TV, etc., the virus may be able to get around in underneath the mask.
Mm-hmm.
You can't wear these types of masks over and over again because they lose any efficacy they have. The front of the mask may be contaminated, and if you take it off and touch it, then you can contaminate your eyes.
Good point.
Yeah, the N95 respirators that we wear in the hospital, we're all trained in how to utilize them. And again, you can't just wear them over and over again and expect them to...
Well, I think people have concern because it's a virus. It's rather than bacterial where you could take antibiotics. Mm-hmm. I remember the norovirus, several years ago. And when people were going around and trying to prevent themselves from catching that. And like you said, SARS and all these other things. So other than wearing or not wearing the surgical mask, because you bring up a really good point that it's only going to last a day or two, and then you'd have to keep continually replacing it. What kind of prevention can someone take? Preventative measures, maybe is a better way to put it, from contracting this.
Well, hand washing, at least 15 to 20 seconds. If you can't wash your hands, an alcohol-based hand sanitizer is useful. Stay away from anybody who's sneezing or coughing. And if you are sick with a respiratory infection, stay home and don't expose yourself to other people. Cough or sneeze into a Kleenex that you dispose into the trash right away.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have one handy, cough or sneeze into your elbow. just try to protect other people.
How long do you think it's going to last? You think by summer this will be gone, or?
I wish I knew the answer to that.
I know. All right. So, but one or two more questions before we let you go here. We no cases yet in the state of Connecticut. Is this just a matter of time, or do you not think it'll even reach? Because it's Rhode Island. We hear. We heard up in Maine. You know, New York. But right now, Connecticut is a corona-free, unless you go to the package store.
Well, there, as you pointed out, the states surrounding us have coronavirus, yeah. And it's very likely that.
Yeah, I thought so.
We'll find a case.
All right, my final.
Fortunately, we haven't yet.
Well, that's good. Knock on wood. But I think you might be right. It might be just in a matter of time. Final question for you, Doc. On a scale of 1 to 10, how serious this in the grand picture of all things. Well, I just before I brought you on, I talked about the stats regarding just this flu. Now, granted, it's a more severe flu season than previous years, but 280,000 people hospitalized, 16,000 people died, and put that in comparison with 11 deaths from the coronavirus. And granted, even one death is one too many. But let's be fair here. How serious this is on a scale of 1 to 10? Can you think of?
Well, it's hard to give you a number like that because we just don't know. In China, they are controlling this outbreak.
They are.
I checked, there was a little over 100 new cases that day. And
okay.
We were talking several thousand cases a day a few weeks ago. So, you know, very hard to know. China has probably controlled it, at least temporarily. And the hope is that the U.S. can do the same thing. It's a new virus. It can affect lots of people. The vast majority of them will have mild illness. But if it does become more prevalent, we will see more deaths, unfortunately.
All right. That's sad. All right. So we're not quite out of the woods yet, and we may not be for a while. But, hey, summer is usually summer kind of kills all the germs, and you know, people can go back to their normal lives, right, to some degree.
Well, we hope so.
We hope so. I cannot thank you enough, Doc. You've your second time on the show with us, and things have changed, obviously, over the 2 months from the last time that you were here, and we really appreciate your time this morning.
Pleasure to be here.
It's our pleasure.